TMAMorningShow.com.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to James west of the Ashley. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, Charlie. How about yourself?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, obviously, we all know that we're all being spied on, and whether or not you agree with how all the WikiLeaks stuff came about, it's all proof positive that, you know, the NSA is probably listening to the phone conversation we're having right now,
right,
and recording that data. So, you know, for anybody to try and say, oh, well, you know, Trump or Trump's team was not spied on, I mean, that's worse than being ignorant. I mean, that's just being a bold-faced liar.
Right. Just completely ignoring the truth.
Exactly. And I think it's kind of interesting that Lindsey Graham is worried that he's being surveilled, because I remember, a while back, I think when all the WikiLeaks stuff came out, Lindsey, if you don't have anything to hide, why should you be worried about if your conversations are being listened to?
Right.
And now suddenly it's an issue.
Suddenly now we do have to worry. That's proof we do have to worry about these conversations.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things that frustrates me about Senator Graham and why I've told people I'd be happier if we had a Democrat senator to replace him, because at least I know for certain
right
the positions and stances I'm going to get with that Democrat that replaces him. I mean, Lindsey talks a good game when it comes election time, but then when he gets up there, you're not sure you're not sure what he's going to do and who he's going to side with. So,
right.
Either the NSA spying on us is an issue or it's not. Whether you have something to hide or not is irrelevant. But, you know, Lindsey needs to get his story straight and decide which side he's going to stand on this one.
Yeah, decide whether it's a big concern or not. James, I appreciate you calling in. Here's what he said the other day.
Does this fall into the category of that the Trump campaign was surveilled? I don't think so. Does it fall in the category of being unlawful? I don't believe so. Is it disturbing? In this regard, it is. I meet with foreign leaders all the time as a senator. I wonder if my meetings are being surveilled by our intelligence community.
Well, wonder no more, Lindsey. Wonder no more. They are. So why does it not concern you, Lindsey Graham, that the unmasking of the people in these conversations, illegal unmasking, like I said, there's only 20 people in the entire nation that can unmask the names of people involved in these conversations, and usually there has to be a good reason for it. But apparently all of that was bypassed and it was leaked to the media. Now, you might also want to remember one Maxine Waters. Now, you remember her, the lovely Miss Maxine. Do you remember back in, I think it was 2013, Maxine Waters said that Barack Obama had a huge database on people.
Made clear to our viewers and listeners is that, look, this is the inauguration represented the beginning of his second term.
Yes. 2013.
But it also represented the countdown of the end of his presidency.
That's right.
And the reality is, like anything else, you better get what you can while he's there, because, look, come 2016, that's it.
Well, you know, I don't know. And I think some people are missing something here. The president has put in place an organization that contains the kind of database that no one has ever seen before in life.
Right.
That's going to be very, very powerful. And whoever,
in terms of the Organizing for America, that he's now shifting to become a 501c4.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that database will have information about everything on every individual in ways that it's never been done before. And whoever runs for president on the Democratic ticket have to deal with that. They're going to have to go down with that database and the concerns of those people because they can't get around it. And he's been very smart. I mean, it's very powerful what he's leaving in place.
Yeah.
And I think that's what any Democratic candidate is going to have to deal with.
Yeah, so Maxine Waters knew that Obama had a huge database. And where does all of this information in said database come from, I wonder? North Charleston, let's talk to Larry. Larry, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
you know, what's really strange about this is nobody seems to be concerned about where their telephone records are stored.
Right.
Records are stored?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay, the company's name is Comdoc, and it's about 12 or 13 blocks from Mossad headquarters in Israel.
Okay. Comdoc, you said.
Every phone call you make on every major telephone company in America is stored in Israel.
Wow. I did not know that, Larry. I appreciate the information. Thank you, buddy. I got to get to the phones here. Let's go to Keith out in Hanahan. He wants to talk about Lindsey Graham real quick. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Hey, Charlie.
What's up?
If they keep spying on Lindsey Graham, maybe, just possibly, they might find out who the people are that actually voted for the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know of any.
I haven't met
one yet, have you?
I haven't met one. Everybody I says rolls their eyes when I use the word Lindsey Graham. I appreciate it, Keith. Thank you very much.
I got a few names.
That's right. Thank you.
This is the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, as we continue with a Charlie James Show on 1250 WTMA and WTMA.com.
Good morning. It's 24 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. The terror attack in London. Now, they're saying that this guy acted alone. We've got his identity. We'll give that to you here in just a little bit. They say he acted alone. But my big question is, if he acted alone, then why have they arrested 10 more people in this case? Why were they kicking down doors all over London the other day in trying to find people who were in collusion with this guy? Why did that happen? We'll give you that. Also, speaking of kicking indoors, well, they didn't really kick indoors, but apparently Sled showed up at the offices of Richard Quinn in Colombia a couple of weeks ago and took out box after box after box of documents from his office. Now, corruption investigation by David Pascoe all seems to point to one little organization, and that is the company, the business, the political consulting firm owned by Richard Quinn. We're going to be talking more about this, and how does it affect the Port Authority here in Charleston? We'll give you that information next.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:41. 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Friday, TGIF Friday. We appreciate you being here. All right, so what is going on with this David Pascoe investigation, this ethics probe that is going on? Now, there was supposed to be a couple of people that were added to the Ports Authority Board. However, that did not happen because Governor Henry McMaster nominated Kenneth Jackson, who is senior vice president of SCANA, and William Jones, who is an attorney in Bluffton and a University of South Carolina trustee. They were nominated, or they were picked by the governor to fill two seats on the board that had been expired on the Ports Authority Board. So they needed two more people. So he nominated Kenneth Jackson and William Jones. Well, lawmakers decided to put off a vote or a confirmation, if you will, of these two guys on the board because of a probe that is going on that even has wrapped up the Ports Authority here. All right? So, state investigators are looking into South Carolina Ports Authority records that talk about hiring, and this is the name that you're seeing over and over and over again. State investigators are looking into South Carolina Ports Authority records detailing its hiring of the Richard Quinn Associates firm. Now, of course, that is headed by GOP consultant Richard Quinn. They hired him for consulting services. They went on to say if there were no investigation ongoing that has now caused two members of the General Assembly to be suspended, had there not been subpoenas issued to the State Ports Authority and other questions raised, they probably would have moved forward the other day. That, according to State Senator Larry Grooms, he said, but we want to make sure that we thoroughly check their testimony with the record. We're going to do a little homework, and we want to be absolutely certain on everything. Now, we found out late last night, that the offices of the Quinns were, and I don't want to use the word raided, because it's not like they kicked the door down, you know, guns blazing or anything. They showed up at the office of Richard Quinn up in Columbia a couple of weeks ago and apparently took out box after box after box of information. And we're talking about, you know, John Corson, he was indicted. We had several more members up there in Columbia that have been indicted on these corruption charges. And what we're seeing now, even Henry McMaster got kind of wrapped up, because when he was running for the chairmanship of the South Carolina GOP, apparently there was a little financial trouble for the South Carolina GOP. In fact, they were in the hole a little over almost $900. So allegedly, the Quinns came in and put money into the coffers of the South Carolina GOP. Then McMaster got elected or reelected as the chairman, and then they gave the money back to the Quinns. So, illegal? Meh. Don't know. Probably not. However, unethical? That's what they're going to have to decide. So the grand jury has issued subpoenas on several places, and we're talking about places like SCANA, we're talking about the Ports Authority, some people are even saying the University of South Carolina and Clemson University are involved in this, and several others. So it's going to be a pretty interesting outcome of this. The SLED agents were executing a state grand jury search warrant when they went to the offices of the Quinns a couple of weeks ago. They just showed up with the warrant. They got a lot of stuff, and they say they're going through every bit of it. Another source said that SLED agents got armloads of stuff. So they've also beefed up the number of agents assigned to the pack of agents already investigating the case. This is from the state newspaper. Now, the state newspaper isn't naming some of these sources because they're not authorized to speak on the record. Other sources don't want to be identified because of the confidentiality attached to the state grand jury process. In an interview with the state newspaper yesterday, Richard Quinn had no comment on whether SLED had seized material from his consulting firm. He says, we've done nothing wrong, and we do need to point out that no charges have been filed against Quinn. Now, Pasco said he had no comment. SLED Chief Mark Keel said it would be improper to comment on an ongoing investigation. So the defense lawyers in the case are trying to remove Pasco from the investigation because they say he's not objective. Also, some of these sources are going on to say that Quinn and possibly others' defense lawyers, whose names aren't confirmed, have also raised questions about whether Pasco and his investigators have the right to see some of the materials that have been seized from the Quinns. So this thing is, I think right now we're just seeing the beginning of this ethics probe, this investigation by Pasco. Of course, he's a special prosecutor in all of this. So I'm thinking probably more and more people are going to get caught up in this thing before it's over with. But all roads right now seem to lead to Richard Quinn and Quinn and Associates in Columbia.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Today's show is brought to you by healthcare. Funny, I've got a colonoscopy coming up. Isn't that ironic?
It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, Representative Mark Sanford and about 40 members of the House Freedom Caucus were able to delay the vote for the American Health Care Act, ACA. And, of course, this was promoted by Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. It was expected for last night, but the Republican caucus is around 237 members, meaning that they could only lose about 21 Republican votes for this thing to pass. Of course, all the Democrats are going to vote against Ryan Care. So the Conservative Freedom Caucus have all been invited to, they'd been invited to the White House several times to talk about the health care plan. President Trump urged them to vote for the health care plan, viewed as a repeal and a replacement bill for the Affordable Care Act and the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Of course, that was signed into law about 7 years ago by Obama. The Freedom Caucus has been fighting against it because they don't see it as giving really a solution to the rising health insurance premiums that we've all experienced because of the Affordable Care Act. Now, Congressman Sanford said in a statement that the Affordable Care Act is not sustainable and is not working for the majority of people who pay for it in the individual insurance marketplace. He goes on to say, I'm pushing for change. But in this rush to get a bill, I think it's important that the conservative principles I believe in should not be erased in the headlong race to get a political win. What people want to see is a drop in their premium and greater choices in the way they can buy insurance. Now, I did not like this bill. I did not like Ryan Care. And it looks like we are going to get a vote on it today because President Trump has said, listen, you guys are going to vote on it today, get it before the House, and let the chips fall where they may. And if it doesn't pass, he kind of gave this, and I think he's just kind of posturing here. He says, if it doesn't pass, then that's it. We're going to keep Obamacare. So it's kind of an ultimatum where he is saying, look, you guys, every one of you ran on repealing Obamacare. Every one of you. And if you don't pass this bill, which I'm not real crazy about what he's saying here, but he says, if you don't pass this bill, then that's it. We're just keeping Obamacare. And you've got to go back home and explain it to your constituents why we still have Obamacare, why some premiums have risen over 100% in some places, why some states like South Carolina only have one insurance provider as far as Obamacare is concerned. You've got to explain to your voters why you didn't get the job done. Now, if you read The Art of the Deal, one of his quotes in that book is, sometimes you just got to know when to walk away. Sometimes you got to know when to walk away. Now, my biggest issue is with this is, first of all, if we have to have some sort of a health care bill, and I'm not completely convinced that we have to have this, why not just go back and let the free market take over, open up competition across state lines? You know, if I'm in South Carolina and there's an insurance company in Minnesota, why can't I get my insurance from them if they're cheaper? But right now we can't do that. You've got to stay within the borders of South Carolina and the companies that are here. Why can't I get an insurance policy from a company in Arizona or in Washington State? That, to me, is ridiculous. So, not real crazy about this bill. I wish they would just go back to the free market, let competition decide. Because if you look at it and you look at the free market, if there's this insurance company, like I said, in Minnesota, and they're offering health insurance at a lower rate with lower premiums, better coverage, and a lower deductible, why wouldn't I go with them? Because when I go with them, I'm going to tell my friends, I'm going to say, John, you're not going to believe this. Look at what I'm paying every month for my health insurance. And this is a family plan. John's going to say, well, I'm going to check into that too. And then John's going to tell his friends. And his friends are going to check into it. And that company is going to be very successful. So open it up to the free market. Why the government is involved in health insurance, I don't know. But if we have to have it, we've got to have something better than what we've got right now. So I don't. Right now, I'm kind of 50-50 on whether or not this thing is going to pass today, whether or not we're going to have some type of a health care bill today. So we'll find out about that coming up.
1250 WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. morning. 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Want to remind you the Food Truck Rally 5K coming to Charleston. That's going to be April the 22nd at Middleton Woodlands. It's a 5K plus, and this is a big plus, going to be featuring some of the best food trucks in the Lowcountry. And another big plus, they're going to have a Mimosa and Bloody Mary bar. And another big plus, great music out there. Now, right now, you can log on to WTMA.com, click on Sweet Deal of the Week, and get registration for the Food Truck Rally 5K at half off. Only $16 to participate, but you need to hurry because only a limited number of these are available. All right, coming up at 8:35 this morning, we're going to be talking with Gibbs Knotts from the College of Charleston about this investigation that is going on into corruption in Columbia. And we'll talk about the Quinns, Richard and Rick Quinn. Of course, Richard Quinn owns a very powerful GOP consulting firm who have really, I mean, they've got some A-list clients with that firm. So we'll talk to him about that. And why all roads in this investigation by David Pascoe really point to Richard Quinn. So we'll have that coming up, and it's even affecting the Ports Authority here in Charleston. So we'll tell you about that. All right, so tonight, I think it's 729. Not 7? No, not. If you tune in at 7:30 tonight, you're late. 729 tonight. Baylor takes on the University of South Carolina in the Sweet 16, and everybody that I'm looking at is picking Baylor to win this thing. But you got to remember something, because everybody that I looked at also predicted that South Carolina was going to lose to Duke, and that didn't happen, did it? Not at all. So the South Carolina Gamecocks taking on Baylor tonight at Madison Square Garden. How thrilling. Seriously. I mean, what, this is the first time in, I mean, decades that the Gamecocks have been in the Sweet 16, and now, you know, some of these kids there, I mean, they're going to be playing in Madison Square Garden. Holy cow. That's got to be pretty impressive. I mean, you walk out on that court, you've done something. If you're playing in Madison Square Garden, doggone it, you have done something. How do you get to Madison Square Garden? Practice, practice, practice. So, good luck to the Gamecocks tonight as they take on Baylor. I hope for another upset tonight. I would love for them to be playing for this thing in the big one. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. This is something kind of cool. You know, summer's coming up, and sometimes you sit back and go, man, I'd like to be on a boat right now. Why don't you buy a boat? I don't want to buy a boat right now. And that's me right there. That's me. I don't want to buy a boat. I don't want to take care of a boat. I don't want to worry about a boat. I don't want to do anything with a boat except be on the boat. So what's better than owning a boat? Well, having a friend that owns a boat. That's a big plus. But you can now go and download on your phone an app called HOBA, H-O-B-A. And that stands for Hop on a Boat Anywhere. And that's exactly what it is. It's an on-demand app. If you want to get on a boat quick, you can just download the app. Works just like Uber. Shows you the available boats that are in your area. Also shows the rates. And it'll put you in touch with the captains personally with just the touch of a button. You can get it right then and there. You don't have to wait in line. HOBA can be used as a coastline shuttle, round trips, fishing trips, sunset sails, even booze cruises, they say. That's pretty nice. So, Jeffrey Dogburn, he's the manager at Water's Edge over there on Shem Creek, says the boating app is going to bring in more customers to waterfront businesses. And you can certainly imagine why. Because you go out there, you get yourself a nice dinner at Water's Edge and say, hey, hun, let's jump on a boat, dial up the old HOBA app, and off you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. West of the Ashley, we've got Gary with us. Gary, how are you?
Hey, doing, my friend. This is Jerry again from West Ashley.
Yeah, what's up, Gary from West Ashley?
Why in the world does government have to be involved with this health care?
I don't know. But do you know what? The horse is out of the barn now. And
what? Everybody seems to be calling in, because I listen to talk show all day.
Yeah.
and they seem to be calling in. They want to appeal and don't do nothing else with it.
Yeah, I just want to delete it. Repeal it. That's and that's it. And be done
they
with
don't
it.
Say it, appeal it, get rid of it, don't do nothing, let people go get their own.
Right. There you go. And that will open it up to more competition and ideally lower rates. Jerry, I appreciate you calling in. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. That's 556-1250. And that what, like I said, you get that insurance company in Minnesota, they're offering lower rates and everybody starts going with them. That company starts doing well. And then these other companies will look up, and this is the way the free market works. These other companies look up and say, hey, what's this insurance company doing in Minnesota? Maybe we ought to jump on the bandwagon. And if you are a wise consumer, then you will shop around for the best rates, which is something that's can't be done right now. All right, let's go to the phones right now and talk with Gibbs Knotts from the College of Charleston, Political Science Department. Good morning, Gibbs. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. Doing well.
All right. This investigation that is going on, all roads seem to lead to Richard Quinn and Quinn and Associates in Columbia, doesn't it?
That's right. There's a graphic, I think, in the state that has Quinn and Associates in the middle and kind of, and then just lines going to all these different people. So pretty amazing with all this going on in Washington. You know, people may not be paying as close of attention to what's going on here in South Carolina, but a really big story about probably the most influential consulting firm over the last several decades here in South Carolina.
And we're talking about big name clients.
It's almost a who's who, you know, sort of everybody. Not everybody, but many people other than former Governor Nikki Haley. I mean, she kind of fought against. That was one of the things she stunned everyone when she actually got the nomination in 2010, you know, beating out McMaster to be able to kind of like, you know, put a stick in the good old boy network a little bit. But yeah, just a lot of people are certainly probably pretty nervous right now. And you see here in the Low Country with, you know, Merrill being indicted and then obviously Speaker Harrell no longer in the legislature. So it's definitely something that, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see kind of what ends up happening. And it's going to affect the governor's race, too, because keep in mind, you know, McMaster got a great, you know, it was a huge hookup by Donald Trump in a lot of ways because he's able to run as the incumbent governor. But he initially said, you know, he's sticking with the firm, and so he may rethink that if the investigation raises some more questions. Again, people are innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
That's an important thing to remember. But you know, you getting indicted is certainly not a good thing. No one wants to be indicted.
So, how many people have been indicted so far? I'm talking about John Corson, Jim Merrill, Bobby Harrell. Of course.
I think that's basically, you know, I wouldn't consider the Robert Ford sort of that separate type of thing.
Yeah.
And he's one of our local legislators also got. But, you know, I think it's not yet the numbers, but it's the high profile people. And Corson, for sure. I mean, he's a guy who has been in Columbia for a long time, and people on both sides of the aisle talk very favorably about, respects a lot. And so, you know, the allegation, you know, in a nutshell, is that he gave this Quinn group some money, and then they gave him a refund that then he was able to use to cover other expenses. I mean, as I understand and as I read about it, it's really about these campaign accounts. And money comes in. We all give, you know, people give money to support their favorite candidate. But what that can be spent on, and whether it starts to sort of blend into some of the personal, is where it gets pretty muddy. And there's certainly things that are, whether they're legal or not, certainly they don't look good. And so, you know, I think it would be good for our state to make the rules a little more clear, maybe look at what some other states are doing and figure out if there's a better way to do business.
It even affected the Ports Authority because they had two open seats that McMaster was appointing Kenneth Jackson to and William Jones, and they delayed the vote on that because of this.
Yeah, pretty unprecedented. Usually those are pretty automatic type of things. But you know, and this group is what the Quinn firm also, you know, they not only have a lot of legislators as clients, they also have, I think, the University of South Carolina as a client. I think the Ports Authority might be a client.
They are.
But you know, so they do general consulting, general PR, marketing, government relations. I mean, all important work. But you know, again, it's they have their hands, and they're very connected in South Carolina politics and have been for a long time.
Right, and we're talking, you just mentioned the University of South Carolina, the Ports Authority. They have hired the Quinns, Henry McMaster, Hugh Leatherman, Alan Wilson, Lindsey Graham, Molly Spearman, Joe Wilson, and the list of their clients just goes on and on and on. Are all of these people, I mean...
I think it would be a mistake to say just because you've, almost like it seems like, it's almost there's a shorter list of people who haven't worked with the Quinn Group. Almost if
right.
if you want to be an elected official on the Republican side in South Carolina, they're the group to go to. So I certainly wouldn't think if a politician or an agency has used their services that anything bad happened. But that seems to be they went in pretty recently and gathered tons of documents.
Yeah.
SLED agents walking out with armfuls of documents. Folks have reported, and so that's that when people start going through all the records and all the documents, a lot of stuff can come out. And if people weren't careful, that's not good. But obviously, if people broke the law, prosecutors are good. Special prosecutors are good, mm-hmm. at being able to make the case and try to find that out. Of course, it would then have to go to a jury,
right.
Or people might plead guilty, or they might be trying to get somebody to cooperate. Really high stakes, and really since Operation Lost Trust a few decades ago, probably the biggest ethics-related government ethics story here in South Carolina.
Now, of course, we, like you said, they went in, they found all of these documents in Quinn's offices a couple of weeks ago. Some people, they've hired more agents.
Right.
SLED has hired more agents to look into this. Some people are trying to get David Pascoe removed because they're saying he's not exactly bipartisan in this.
That's right. I mean, he's a Democrat or Democratic-leaning special prosecutor. And, folks on the judicial side, will be quick to tell you, look, we can do our job no matter where our partisan leanings mm-hmm. go. But you're going to get accused of if you're investigating some of the most powerful political leaders in South Carolina and certainly the most powerful consulting firm, people are going to say bad stuff about you.
So, how much fuel does this give the Democrat Party in upcoming elections?
Yeah, it's definitely good for the Democrats. It's good for Republicans that aren't associated with Quinn. But
right.
keep in mind, this is a state where Trump did very well, Romney did very well. Every single statewide elected official right now is a Republican, and so all but one of our House members, the folks we send to Washington, are Republicans, and so it's going to help the Democratic Party, but it's still the Democratic Party has a real uphill battle in South Carolina. I mean, they're going to have to, they do well with minority voters, they do a little bit better with younger voters, mm-hmm. but it's still an uphill battle for Democrats to put together coalitions statewide to be able to change what's been, really, since Carol Campbell built the Republican Party in
right.
South Carolina, a dominant, really a one-party system for the last several decades.
Well, we will see where this thing winds up, because I think we're just getting started.
Yeah, it certainly does look like it.
All right, Gibbs Knotts from the College of Charleston. Gibbs, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Gibbs Knotts again with the College of Charleston about this ethics probe that's going on.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's about 6 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Morningside middle school student is accused of stabbing another student on a bus yesterday. Now, this student was charged with second-degree assault, possession of a weapon on school property, and interfering with the operation of a bus that, according to North Charleston Police Department, a school resource officer was called a little after 8 o'clock to the school's rear bus loop, according to the report. While on the scene, the officer saw an assistant principal holding the suspect down and another assistant principal standing next to the victim at the rear of the bus. So apparently, these two male juveniles, or utes, what's a ute, were involved in this. We don't know what grade level they were in right now. But according to the victim, he tried to get off the bus when the suspect approached and wanted to fight him. Then he pulled a knife and swung it at the victim. Apparently, he suffered a stab wound to his left forearm. while the suspect suffered a cut to his right hand. The victim put the suspect in a chokehold, good for you, to try and prevent further attacks with the knife. So, good for you, knowing how to put somebody in a chokehold. Excellent. Excellent work, citizen. Good job. So, over-policing? Do we think we have over-policing? Really? We got students trying to stab each other on a bus. And groups here in Charleston and North Charleston, they want the cops to just stay away, hands off. Be kind of laissez-faire. Don't put your hands on anybody. Don't get involved. Don't make sure we don't have too much over-policing in our communities. Oh, and by all means, let's get rid of the school resource officers. We don't need those people out there messing around and, getting involved in things. No, not at all. We don't need that because that sends the wrong signals to students in school, doesn't it? Yes. And we need, how the planes have that air marshal, the sky marshal? Maybe we ought to have a bus marshal. Yeah, that'll cost a ton of money because people can't keep their hands to themselves. And that was one thing my grandmother always used to say to me, and I learned that a long time ago. Just keep your hands to yourself. That's it. And it goes more than just your physical hands. It just goes to basically mind your own business. Grandmothers have some pretty good philosophies out there. You need to listen to them. So, this guy, William Leonard Dobson, is going to be sentenced today and the case where he is accused of taping, well, he was found guilty of taping Caitlin the dog's muzzle shut. Well, apparently he got about 15 years in prison on a weapons possession charge that was unrelated to Caitlin. That happened yesterday. Any prison term that he gets today for ill treatment of an animal probably won't extend his stay behind bars. And I don't understand why that is. I really don't. Because they will have these sentences that will run concurrently. And I think I'm right about that. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But it's like, if you are involved, if you are sentenced for crime A, and then you're also sentenced in crime B, then your punishment for crime B will be considered part of your punishment for crime A, whichever is greater. I think you ought to tack them on. Just as soon, well, thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate the fact that you have paid your debt to society for conviction A, and it is now time for you to start serving your sentence on conviction B. So, no need to pack. We'll keep you right here. You can have the same room as you said. You got a new roommate, though, I'll tell you that. And apparently I hear he likes you. So, I don't think they should coincide, these sentences. I mean, if you're guilty of two things, you ought to be serving time for both of those things. So, and poor Caitlin, boy, she has done really, really well. Does not like me, I'll tell you that right now. Caitlin, not a big fan of Charlie James. When she was in here in the studio, a few months ago, she voiced her opinion, I guess. I guess she doesn't like guys. I don't think she likes men a whole lot.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy about me either.
She's not a guy girl. So, all right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. As you have always heard, I mean, everybody knows that housing prices here in Charleston are just through the roof, and that is apparently a very good thing for the folks out there in Berkeley County. They have seen their population growth. It's growing by leaps and bounds. They gained nearly as many residents as Charleston and Dorchester counties combined last year. Few counties in the Carolinas and not one in the Northeast saw as many residents moving in as did Berkeley County. They gained more than 8,000 people between mid-2015 and mid-2016. And of course, it's no secret, we've been growing pretty quickly. We have added about 210,000 residents since 2000. But until last year, the largest piece of that growth was usually Charleston County. Well, that's changing now. And a lot of it's got to do because of housing prices, home construction, and traffic conditions all play a role in the folks saying, you know what, I'm going to move out there to Berkeley County where things are a little less expensive.
Charlie James in the Morning. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA.